We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
Tests. Everyone in life has to face tests. And we've been talking a lot about this. Tonight, we got another test for you guys. But one of the scriptures I do want to share with y'all, we've been sharing this just about every week. This is James 1, 2, verse 4. We don't have to worry about tests. It's not like tests when you're going to school or going to whatever. We don't have to worry about tests because it says in Scripture, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, and needing nothing." That last part, perfect, complete, and needing nothing. Anybody there tonight? No, then praise God for the tests that we have that take us closer and closer to that. See, passing a test grants you access to the next level. And the test that I want to discuss tonight is the self-will test. And just like any test, if you're going to take a test, it's important that you know what the test is about. So I do want to define very clearly what it is we're talking about tonight whenever I say the self-will test. I do not mean maintaining motivation. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what we're talking about. I do not mean self-encouragement. I do not mean endurance. I do not mean self-discipline. When I'm talking about the self-will test, I want to talk to you about what is your compass. What's steering you? What are you aligned with? See, some of us don't even take into consideration our self-will and how it's trying to steer us opposite to what God is trying to steer us towards. And that's why we find ourselves sometimes, even as Christians, being so far from where we want to be in our walk with the Lord. See, the self-will test is designed to differentiate what is at the core of this question. Why am I doing what I'm doing? That's a self-will test. It's what it's designed to answer. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I choosing what I am choosing? It all has to do with self-will. Is it our self-will or is my self-will lined up with God's will? See, it's when you know that God is asking you to do something that is contrary to your own desire or opposite of your plan, that's when you know you're entering into a self-will test. When you have to say, do I want God's will or my will? It's in those moments that this test is in the middle of being taken. And you have to understand with self-will tests, it's in conjunction with the way that we respond to this choice, God's will or our will, that will determine whether we are going to live the God kind of life. How you answer God's will or my will determines if you're going to live the God kind of life. So we have to be able to pass the self-will test. See, I want to give you some hope because, again, the self-will test, like all tests that come our way, have an answer that has already been given to them. And not to reteach everything that I taught on the last time, but I do want to drive this home. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him and the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by humans' desire." See, this self-will test has an answer. It's an easy answer, but while it's an easy answer, it requires an adept nuance in order to apply it. Did you like that? Did you like that? That was a pretty good adjective there. Adjectives. Mel's not here to correct me, so I'm just running wild up here. But the answer to the test of self-will that we will be questioning tonight is submission. Submission is your answer to the self-will test. Submission is the answer. And we're going to be questioning that answer. See, the reason why I was talking about an adept nuance is because submission is one of those things that we really don't like to do, you know, because you got to actually do it. Like, you can say you're submitted, but then to do the submitting, that's kind of heavy lifting. See, submission is a fundamental concept, but it refers to very deep spiritual maturity. See, it's a fundamental thing, submission, but it requires a very deep spiritual maturity to actually walk completely in submission. See, it's a voluntary act that reflects the humility and self-denial of Christ on the inside of us. And you got to know, nobody submits by accident. It's not involuntary. We don't involuntarily submit to God's will. It's not going to happen by accident. We have to choose submission to God's will. And that's where it gets tough. So, submission. Why submission? Why must we learn to submit? See, here's why. It really boils down to this. You can live life knowing God's will, knowing the plans and purposes that God has for you. You can memorize the scripture. You can understand the goodness of the availability of the new covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority and the peace that you can walk in, and then ruin all of that because you refuse to walk in the will that God has for you. You can know all that stuff. You can know all that stuff. You can know it and name it and claim it and then refuse all of it simply because you can't submit to what it requires for you to have that. See, just imagine trying to walk in God's will without being submitted to it. You can't do it. You can't walk in God's will and then not want to be submitted to God's will. I want to submit to God's will as far as the promises go for me. Blessed am I, going in, going out, coming into my house, going out of my house. But I don't want to be submitted to God's will when it comes to what I have to lay down. See, some of us, we don't really have to imagine it because we're living it. We don't have to imagine what that's like because we find ourselves living in frustration. Some of us are really, really good at being saved. But we're really, really poor at being submitted. We're saved, no doubt. No doubt we're saved. We're really good at being saved. Really good at understanding the cross, the blood, the sacrifice, I don't want to have that sin on me no more. But we start losing it when it starts getting to the side of what we have to do to submit to it. See, while it's easy to see, it's harder to practice. But if we'll submit and we live by God's will, we'll walk in His blessing because that is His will for us. We can't just be a people that we want to preach our salvation and ex-nay or hold off to the side our submission. Like, order me one salvation, hold the submission. Like, we can't. It's not Burger King, all right? That's not what we're doing. All right, it comes with it. It's a package deal. And it's why I believe a lot of Christian people find themselves repeatedly in tight spots over and over and over again, simply because, not that the whole world's out to get them, but they're missing walking in God's will. I read this proverb this morning, and I felt like it went to the heart of the stuff that I'm trying to get here. Proverbs 19:3 in the NLT, this is a really good one. This will make a great t-shirt. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at God. People ruin their own lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at God. Bless our little hearts. We just can't seem to get out of our own way. See, because we're unable to submit to God's will, we're going to follow our own wills, our own ways, and our own plans, and our own desires. And whenever all that fails and crumbles, we throw our hands up at God and say, hey, where's the blessing? Or worse, we confuse partial submission for complete surrender. we get tricked into thinking that we, since I've partially submitted these parts of my God, or to my God, then I'm completely surrendered. And that's, you know what partial submission means in the ancient Greek? This is going wild, some of y'all. It means not all the submission has been submitted. Partial submission is not what God's after. God's not interested in a halfway surrender of your own will and desire. That's not what God's after. That's not what God is trying to reveal to you that will open the doors for you to receive blessings. See, we want to wear the shirts and deny the lifestyles. We want to open our mouths but shut off our hearts. We want to come to church and then miss God. We sit in service, but instead of listening, we want to play on our phones and play Monopoly Go and Candy Crush and check Facebook and check Twitter. And see, this is a big problem in today's day and age, but you've got to know it's not a new problem. It's the same as what the Bible says whenever it talks about people wanting to have the right to be their own master. Just follow your heart. Your heart, you just got to follow. You got to stay true to your heart. You got to stay true to your desires. Jeremiah 17:9, though, says this: the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. It's not even like, it's like, hey, that's not a good idea. It says it's the most deceitful thing of all, and it's desperately wicked. Like, when I think about somebody being wicked or something being wicked, I don't think like, man, I really, really, really got to be wicked. But that's how our heart is. Our heart's nature is inclined to that. So the last thing you need steering your ship is your deceitful, confused, messed up, junked up heart. That's a bad way to go. See, self-will brings destruction into the life of an individual. Another really good t-shirt idea for our, maybe next year for church. Proverbs 1:32. I like how this says this in this translation. It says, sin and self-satisfaction bring destruction and death to stupid fools. Man, this is so encouraging. Don't y'all feel encouraged right now? That's not what God wants. So that's why he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, so put to death the sinful and earthly things lurking within you. Lurking. When I think of something lurking, I think of something like a predator. It's on the lurk. It's on the prowl. It's trying to get you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. See, that's what the Word says. That's what the will of God says. But then Weeze says, nah. Nah. See, that stems from pride. What do you know about pride in the Bible? See, yeah, yeah. See, pride, you're getting ahead of me. See, this pride produces your limitations. Your area of pride will determine your area of limitations. And here's why, because you can't submit what you guard with pride. It's an impossibility. How are you going to submit something to God and lay it down to God when you're guarding it in pride? And here's what pride sounds like. I can quit anytime I want. That's not that big a deal. Yeah, but you should have seen what they said to me first. That's something, you can't repent of something that you don't think's a big deal. We're not going to turn away from something that we think's a big deal. We're guarding it with pride. Can't submit it. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. See, it was pride that cast Lucifer out of heaven. See, it's that rotten, stinking pride that tries to turn us and our lives inside out. Pride blinds us, pride keeps us, and pride causes us to blame others for our own misdeeds. See, a self-willed person cannot be trusted because the very thing steering their life can't be trusted. And a person that cannot be trusted cannot be used. A person that cannot be used cannot be promoted. And a person that cannot be promoted is stuck with themselves for forever. I don't want to be there. I don't want you to be there. But we've got to get away from self-will. See, self-will sets in motion all the tools and footholds necessary for the enemy to body slam you and to keep you. Because they allow unbelief to grow. See, self-will exhibits itself in a refusal to listen to God, a refusal to submit to any kind of authority, a refusal to receive any instruction, a refusal to receive any correction, or a refusal to sacrifice to other people. See, you can't do any of that stuff if you're going to be self-guided by your self-will. And does any of that sound like the God kind of life? A refusal to listen to God? I don't know how you're going to get it there. I don't know how you're going to limp your faith to the God kind of life with a refusal to receive instruction. I don't know how you're ever going to get your faith there and limp it there whenever you've got a refusal to receive correction. You've got to get away from seeing correction as rejection. It's not. God does it because He loves you, because He wants you. That's why we have correction. See, we've got to get away from the self-will and get submitted. So, submission's our answer. We get why. But then the other question that comes up for our answer is how? How do I submit? How do I submit to God? And this is again, it's one of those things where it requires nuance. Because sometimes when people say, I want to be submitted to God and His Word, this is how we live. This is how these people sometimes live their lives. Oh God, what should I eat for breakfast today? Oatmeal? Or a banana? Oh God, what am I going to do? What? Okay, stop. That's weird. That's weird. God doesn't care. Eat. Just eat. Just eat something. Unless, as you're reaching for oatmeal, you hear God say, no, eat the banana instead. That's submission to God. Yes, sir. That's submission to God. That's what God's looking for. Look, there are some things you might need to pray about and seek counsel about. But submission to God does not mean, oh, Lord, what colored shirt do I need to have? Oh, man, is it going? Oh. That's not submission to God. That's craziness. That's anxiousness. That doesn't produce peace. That doesn't produce, and anybody who's watching you live like that, there's a man of confidence in who God is. No, because you're looking around like the hand of God's going to strike you. If you accidentally picked the wrong flavored drink today, that's not what submission to God, and that's not what He's looking for. See, God's looking for you to be submitted in your heart. Romans 12:2. Here's how. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want to read it now in the NLT, Romans 12:2 again. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Do not copy the behaviors of this world. How do I submit? First and foremost, do not copy the behaviors and patterns of this world. Don't do it. Don't copy them. Now, does that mean we need to all not have electricity and live out on a farm and go around in a horse and buggy? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're getting too far off. But what we're saying is, in the attitudes and the posturing of our heart, I am not going to care about the same things that the world tells me are important, because in fact, they are not important. I don't care what basketball star said is the cool thing to do. I don't care what the football man told me on TV who I should vote for. I'm not going to listen to this singer who dresses half naked all the time is going to now tell me how to raise my children. I don't care, because I'm not going to copy the behaviors and the patterns of this world that don't produce anything. Instead, I'm going to let God transform me into a new person by the way that I think. How do you submit? By allowing God to change you by the way you think. Both these scriptures are very similar, but both of them have a few things that are the same. And one of the big things to me that sticks out says, you will learn. You will learn to know. You will learn to know God's will as you submit to His word. See, as you read God's word and you meditate on God's word, God will transform you in the way that you think and show you His will by His word. I want to know God's will for my life. Have you read the Bible? No, but I sure want to know what God's will is. Read. Read. Knowledge is power, right? Knowledge is power. Some say it's not what you know, but who you know. I don't care which one of those you like. Both of these meet in the Word of God. Because the more knowledge that you gain about who God is, the more you begin to learn what the promises are that God says. And the more that you read God's Word, the more you know Him. So in both facets, you are empowered. You are empowered to learn how to submit, therefore to live the life that God's asked you to live. See, Proverbs 1:33, you know that really good verse we read earlier. Here's Proverbs 1:33. This is the second part of it. But if you listen to me, you will be safe and secure without fear of disaster. Okay, now let's put that one on a t-shirt. But again, how can you be submitted to something that you won't even give time to listen to? How? How can you submit to something that you don't even give time to pour into you? That you won't even take time to read? You're wanting to learn, but you're not willing to study. You want to hear, but you won't listen. You want to see God move, but you won't seek God out. You have to submit to His word. Colossians 3:10 and 11 says, put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You may or may not have known this, but God intends for you to become like Him. Well, I didn't even... What? I thought I was just this lowly piece of dirt that didn't have any kind of hope or no. Become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter what you were before, Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, TMI, barbaric or uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Will you submit to Him? Will you submit to Him? Will you submit to Him? Will you take time to learn what He's trying to tell you and teach you? And when we're talking about submission, I love bringing this up because we're not just laying down our sins like we are so customary to think. It's not just about what you do wrong. God expects you to lay that down. That's a no-brainer. That's the whole reason why we come to Him in the first place. Because we saw what our sin was getting us, and we said, I don't want that anymore. God, I'm laying that down. That should never be in your thought process at all. Should I lay down my sin? Absolutely. But what God's hoping that you'll learn to lay down is your desires, your will, your way. And to follow His example, Christ 22:42, in the garden, Jesus never had to lay down sin, but Jesus Himself led us in this. In laying down His own will to preserve His body, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, God, but yours be done. What God is hoping that you will learn and see and perceive is that, do you want my will to be done or your will to be done? Jesus Christ, believe it or not, did not have to go to the cross. Had he wanted to, he could have called down a legion of angels and like that been gone and we'd all been helpless and hopeless and lost forever. And he would have been well within his right to do so. Well within his right to do so. God wouldn't have held it against him had he done that. Because he would have been well within his rights to do that. But it says that he freely gave his life. When Pilate tried to say, do you not realize that I hold your life in my hand? And what, da 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 da. It's one of the few times that Jesus ever talked back to any of the people trying to prosecute him. And he said, I freely give my life. No man takes it. The authority that you have has been given unto you. And he wasn't talking about Rome. He was talking about from himself. See, we are so quick to see our rights as more divine than God's will. Do you see your rights as more divine as God's will? That's what I'm talking about with that nuance. See, if we're going to submit, we're not going to partially submit. That's not what God's interested in. God, not my emotional response to this situation, but your will be done. God, not my want be done, but your will be done. God, your will over my rights, God. Because this is what we've been commanded to do. Matthew 16. I'm almost finished here. Matthew 16, verse 24. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. That's passing the self-will test. Denying yourself does not mean denying yourself of sin. It means denying yourself of what you feel like you have a right to. That's passing the test. That's submission at the mature level. That's what God's looking for. See, the self-will test allows us to reveal our own personal ambitions that are contrary to the purposes of God. They reveal our selfishness. They reveal our self-will that needs broken. And they allow us the opportunity each and every single time to do just what Jesus Christ did in the garden. God, not my will, but your will be done. See, maturing is seeing that your will can be God's will. Your will can be God's will. Your will can be God's will. You can get to a place because you're submitted to God that your will can be God's will. That's why it says in the Word of God, whatever you pray in my name you shall have. Why is that? Because we're praying God's will and his desires here on this earth. If we couldn't pray God's will and his desires here on this earth, then that means we couldn't have his will. Well, what are we even trying to do this for anyway? But that's not the case. See, when we allow ourselves to be transformed into a new person, we are constantly and constantly losing the image of who we were and who we are, and we are transforming into the image of Christ himself. That's how we begin to look like the body of Christ. So in conclusion tonight, I pray that you see that the test of self-will can be overcome, but only through a matured understanding of what submission really means. See, the self-will test reveals the level of submission of each and every single individual one of us. And everyone has to answer to someone. And life is always going to be full of people telling you what to do. But see, self-will is the opposite of submission. And it's the placing of oneself under the authority of another. Submission to the will of God is what Christianity truly is all about. And when we are willing to lay down our lives in submission, then we have passed the self-willed test. And by passing this test, our wills can in fact become and be and stay God's will.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.